O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Kai, you've done a wonderful job, and the song selection is beautiful and well led. Appreciate the good work that those of you who lead us in worship are doing. And those songs are really resonating with me today. Before I get to my first point, I just wanted to do what I try to remember to do each time we become aware of someone who has been baptized into Christ. And I know already, Joey, that has been acknowledged by a couple of our elders, and appreciate the words of the beautiful words in the prayer that Ken led on your behalf. But on behalf of the congregation, are you in your spot, by the way? I'm looking for... I'm sorry. I didn't recognize you. You're wearing a mask. I just wanted to exhort you on behalf of the congregation to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your might, and to serve Him in truth with all of your heart, all of your days. And our prayer for you is that you would ever be increasing in the knowledge of God, bearing fruit in every good work, bringing glory to His name. That's our prayer for you and for every one of you who are new in Christ. And that should be our prayer for ourselves, our families, and for all of us in the body here. It's a sentiment we find again and again in Scripture. So we want to exhort you to remain faithful to the Lord and bring glory to His name. Our hope and prayer, and we have every expectation that God will glorify His name in your life in a great way and in your family. And so we rejoice in that good news. And so what Joey did was avail himself of God's purpose. This will allow me then to move into what I want to say by way of invitation. We're going to have the invitation first, actually, this morning. And it's not even the case that we have to give a formal invitation at every service. But I think it will serve us well in order to segue into what we're going to do in our service today in acknowledging our deacons and appointing new ones and acknowledging our elders and appointing new ones. But we think about God's purpose for you. God has a plan for you. And we want you to understand that this purpose for you was in the mind of God before the world, before you ever came into the world, and before the world ever came into being. God had a purpose. It's an eternal purpose. And that is to glorify His name in the salvation of your soul. And so I think it's profound and quite moving to contemplate the eternal purpose of God. That purpose that God has for you is from all of eternity and extends to all of eternity. Number two, it was made possible by what Christ, the Son of God, did when He suffered on the cross. It was realized, if you will, or made available to us in the suffering of Jesus, our sinless sacrifice on the cross, and in His resurrection from the dead. And He has ascended to the right hand of God where He reigns, and He is our Lord. And in fact, He's not only our Lord, He's Lord of lords and King of kings. And so through Jesus Christ, this eternal purpose of God making you His and bringing you to Him, to be with Him and to be loved by Him and to love Him in return for all of eternity. It's because of Jesus that can be made a reality. And that's the good news that we hold forth to the world. But we want to understand as well that this purpose of God for your salvation, to bring glory to His name in your life through what Jesus did on your behalf and mine, it includes His church, the community of believers, God's people, if you will. And so that brings me to a great text in Ephesians 3. And in Ephesians 3, when Paul, and this is a letter where Paul talks a lot about the place of the church and the plan of God. And as an apostle, he says in verse 8, "To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. What a great way to describe the gospel. And to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Look, this is a cosmic plan. This is a plan that encompasses all of reality, even outside of our material world. But then he goes on to say, this was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ our Lord. So after having made that lofty statement, he then, in the next chapter, talks about the church and how God equipped us then as we come together as his people to minister to one another. And notice in Ephesians chapter 4, as he talks about that, in verse 11, he says that he, God, gave the apostles, these are gifts that God has given to the church. The apostles, and we don't have apostles anymore in the church. But apostles were specially chosen by the Lord and sent out with his spirit and his power as official ambassadors on his behalf. And so they are a gift, as it were, to the church. So he gave the apostles, the prophets. We don't have inspired prophets in the church anymore, but in the early church, in the apostolic period, we had prophets. The evangelists, I would fit in that category. Those who herald the good news, who proclaim the good works. The shepherds, your Bible might say pastors. Those are the elders that we've been talking about in lesson after lesson. I think 6 or 8 lessons, something along that line we had about elders. And then also talking about deacons and teachers. And of course, we still have teachers who are essential to the church, and God has gifted some with that ability. And he says the purpose of all of this is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then he goes on to talk about how all of that is so that we could speak the truth in love and God could knit the whole body together through the working of each part. It's a great text. Miss Olivia, write down a note for me. I need to preach Ephesians 4. What a great passage. But those different gifts that God talks about there, he's given some to be evangelists and some to be teachers and some to be pastors. Among those, if you will, offices, we have elders and deacons. Now, elders are mentioned there when he says pastors. But we know from other passages that includes the deacons. And that's why we've had a great deal of study in a number of lessons in recent months addressing the qualifications and work of elders and of deacons. So now, all of that was to arrive, or certainly in part, a purpose for that was to arrive where we are today, so that we can appoint those who have been selected by the congregation and have been considered qualified by the church to take their place among the elders and among the deacons. So we want you to understand, see, this is all a part of God's eternal purpose for our salvation. How the church is a part of God's plan for us. And a part of God's plan for the church is to have men who oversee us and to have men appointed to serve in special ways. All right, so let's go first and look at the deacons. Now, how do we appoint these men? What's the biblical procedure? If you're here with us for the first time, as you note from what we've already said, yes, we're appointing these men now in this public assembly of the church to take their place and be considered officially as deacons. How does the Bible say we do that? Well, there's no specific procedure outlined in Scripture. Now, we do find often when people were appointed to a special work that there was fasting and prayer, and I hope we've all been deep in prayer about this. And then there was a public measure or a ritual that was undertaken where they would lay hands on others. And that's been depicted in various, you know how I like to show some of the artwork where these biblical concepts inspired talented artists to depict it in different ways. And this is supposed to be, it's a rendition of Saul or Paul and Barnabas being appointed in Acts 13:3 to go out as the Lord said, separate them and send them out. And so what did the church do? Said, well, God has a special work for them. They fasted and they prayed and they laid hands on them. And so there are some churches that actually do this today. I think it was a ritual that was sort of culturally oriented in Jewish practice. We find Jesus laying hands on people to heal them. At times, laying on of hands was by the apostles to convey some miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. But other times it was simply a ritual to show, to have some kind of action where there was some official recognition that someone has been appointed and recognized to serve in a certain way. So, and this is the full palming the skull grip. We're not going to do that today, but I like that nice intimate hold on the head. But the idea of, you know, putting hands on each other. We're not going to, you know, gather around these men and all put our hands on them, although I don't think that would be wrong if I did that and if the elders did that. But just bear in mind that that was a ritual we find mentioned several times in Scripture. I mentioned Acts 13:3 and 1 Timothy 4:14 and in 2 Timothy 1:6. Paul, we learned, laid hands on Timothy and that the eldership laid hands on Timothy. Interesting, isn't it? And then he told Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:22, not to be hasty to lay hands on others. So in other words, not to be reckless and careless when you appoint people. Well, again, there is that mentioning of laying hands on. Well, what I want you to do is to consider what we're doing here, laying hands on these men. This is our ritual. This is, I think, perfectly within the boundaries of biblical authority to do what we're doing right now as we ask these deacons to, the new men being appointed to serve as deacons to come forward. In fact, I want to ask that right now if CJ and Jeffrey, if you'd make your way, just take a seat here at the front. As they do that, here are our current deacons. Jeff Adams, Jerry Anderson, Ben Austin, Ray Burkett, Tom Crowder, Jeremy Gibson, Joe Gibson, Tony Guffey, Mike Heideman, Dave Hallman, Kevin McKisson, Greg Parker, Jason Smith, and John Wolfschlager. And of course, there have been others who have served in the past, and until just recently, Michael Scruggs was a deacon and recently stepped down. He was honorably discharged from the deaconship with full deacon benefits, full retirement benefits from the Deacons Union. But we appreciate those who have served in the past, Michael and others, more than I would know to even list. But now, to them, we are adding, as you know, from the announcements that we've made and the prayer that was already offered and the remarks that already been made when we started our service. As you know, Jeffrey has come now, Jeffrey Carroll, and C.J. Forrest. And so what I'm going to do on behalf of the church, I'm going to give a brief charge to these men, and then I'm going to step down and ask them if they will stand on either side of me, and we're going to face the congregation. And it just so happens I am going to put my hands on them. We'll distance. We're going to be socially responsible and distance ourselves a bit, even in this process. So, and say a prayer on their behalf, and then we'll do the same with the elders. But Jeffrey and CJ, we say this to you, we say it to all the deacons. First and foremost, the way that you can best serve as a deacon is for you to strengthen your own relationship with the Lord. And so it's absolutely imperative for you to be an instrument in the hands of God to bless this church, that you maintain and develop and pursue your own relationship with the Lord, and to be to your families the husbands and fathers that God has appointed you to be, and not to allow yourself to be called upon so much or pressed upon so much by the work that deacons are sometimes called to do that you would ever neglect your families, because you're never going to be able to be what this congregation needs you to be in serving here unless you first can be what you need to be in your own relationship to the Lord. And that means being the heads of your families and to lead them to know God and to take that time to nurture your bonds of family and their bond with the Lord. And so that's first and foremost. We want to urge you to take heed to yourselves, to remember the trust that is being committed to you at this time, to be the example that the Lord is calling you to be in this work. It's a special honor, as I'm sure you realize and that you accept, and that there is responsibility that comes along with it. But even as we urge you to set the example that you've already been setting and that you continue to set before the church, to rely on the grace of God when you falter and struggle. We don't want you to feel that your calling to serve in this way means that the Lord expects you to be perfect. We know you're going to struggle with sin just like we all struggle with sin. And we want you to rely on the grace of God and trust in His strength and His power to help you be what He's calling you to be this very day to the Lord's church here. And on behalf of the church, we want to thank you for the way you've already served in your faithfulness here and in what you and your families have meant to this church already, and to thank you for your willingness to step up in this way and to say yes to such a wonderful and high calling, and to remember what Scripture says, that those who serve well as deacons gain for themselves a good standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I'm going to, if you'll stand with me here at the front, I'm going to pray. See if I can do this. Okay. Holy Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. Thank you for all that you've worked in the lives of these good and godly men to bring them to this church, to bring them to this hour in their lives where they can be called on to serve in this way, Lord. Please strengthen them in the work that they do. Make them the fathers, the husbands you would have them to be. Father, we pray that they would bear much fruit in this work, and that your name would be glorified in them and in their families, that your grace would be upon them and upon the other deacons as they work together in what you've called them to do, Lord. May they be faithful and bring great glory to your name is our prayer now and always. Please bless them, Lord, and accept our thanks for these your servants. For in the name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Thank you, brother. And then I'd like to ask our current elders to, Jack and Bernard, if you would also make your way to the front and take a seat on the front pew. And we're going to do something similar here. And I'm going to ask all the elders to stand when I pray. Forgot I can do this now. But as we did before, let me, did I unplug this or something? Okay. As we did before, let me mention our current elders. We have, first of all, the great Ken Eubanks. He asked me to say it that way. None of the other elders did, but Ken, that's how you want it. Mike Holt, who is not with us this morning, who's been serving for some time. George McInnes is not with us this morning, but both of them, of course, are with us in spirit. Bernard Parker, and I just want to mention, too, that Bernard has set a record as the longest-standing elder of this congregation. He's been serving for 84 years this May. So, truly, truly remarkable. And Brother Jack Roach. And then I'd like to ask, at this time, Sean and Irwin to come forward. As you know, we're appointing Sean Sandifer and Irwin Vedito. And I'm going to give a brief charge to them as well. And I'm going to pray with them as we did with the other elders also. Just going to ask all the elders at that time for if you guys would flank me on either side and the other elders can stand and face the congregation. We'll say a prayer together and then they'll have a brief word to give to the congregation before we bring things to a close. And I'm so glad, Ken, that you mentioned all of the family members by name in your prayer, because I memorized them and went over them and wrote them down and was still terrified that I would feel confident to just say them in the prayer and forget. So I'm glad we've mentioned all of your children by name this morning. But as we did with the deacons, on behalf of the congregation, and in the name of our Lord, as we do all things, we want to charge you as well to take heed to yourselves. To remember, just as we said a moment ago, that for you to serve this church and to shepherd along with these other shepherds, it first and foremost, you have to be what God has called you to be for your family, to be the husbands and fathers that you need to be. And then you can't be that to your family unless you're putting first your own relationship with the Lord, seeking Him with all of your heart, desiring Him to know Him more, for Him to be more fully manifested in your lives. And so please don't allow anything else in your life, including the many burdens that elders are called to bear and the work that they're called to do. Please do not allow anything to interfere with you developing your relationship with the Lord and you leading your families to develop their relationships with the Lord. Because that is first and foremost how you can best serve this church. And so Paul, when he spoke to the elders of the church at Ephesus, and he gave them a charge of sorts in Acts 20 and verse 28. That's how he started. He said, take heed to yourselves. And then he said, to all the flock, to all the church over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And so that's what I want to move to next. Now, this is unique because as important as our deacons are, elders serve in a different way. They're actually overseers. And Paul said, take heed not just to yourself, but to the church. The Holy Spirit is making you overseers. So you oversee, you watch over our souls on behalf of the Lord. You are like those shepherds that we pictured earlier, to watch, to feed, to lead, and to guard. And so take heed to the church, Paul told the elders, and that's what we tell you as well this morning, to protect us, to nurture our faith, and to help lead us together to glorify God so that we can all be with Him forever in heaven. And so remember this trust that is committed to you. We know that you take it as a great honor, and yet you know that it's a very serious matter. Remember the example that the Lord is calling you to set, but as well, trust in His grace when you falter and fail, as we all do. When you struggle, we don't want you to be so hard on yourself as you think of what a high calling that you are being called to, that that you don't realize that we're patient with you just as the Lord is patient with us. And we pray you will rely on God's grace and His forgiveness and His strength. We want to thank you for serving in this way, for what you and your families have meant to this church already, for what you will continue to mean to this congregation. We're grateful that you were willing to say yes when called upon in this way, and have every confidence to believe that you will use this trust committed to you this day in a way that will honor the Lord and bring glory to His name. And that's what we want to pray together now. Would you stand, please, and face the congregation? Let's pray. Holy Father, O Lord, thank you so much for what you have worked in the lives of these good, godly men, in the lives of Sean and Irwin, to bring them and their families to this church, that we might be blessed by them, Father, that they can serve you in this way and join with our other shepherds to minister to the church in this high privilege and high calling, Lord. We ask that your grace be upon them, that they would bear much fruit, that they would be faithful to this trust, Lord, that they would rely on your grace, that they would be the husbands and fathers you've called them to be. We thank you for such good men to shepherd us. We thank you, Lord, for those who have served in the past and those who are serving now. And we pray that you would use these elders and use all of us here to build each other up and to raise up faithful and godly elders for the days to come. Holy Father, put your hand upon these, your servants, and all of our elders, that they may watch for our souls as you called them to do, and that your will might be done in their service here and in all things, for we ask it in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And so these men are now our elders and deacons. We can officially consider them to have taken their place respectively in the eldership and among the deacons. And as we said a moment ago, we're going to give a couple moments for Sean and Irwin to say a word. I guess, Sean.
I'll see if I can be briefer than Irwin. So first and foremost, I'm humbled and honored by the faith that y'all put forth in me and my family and taking on this responsibility. I hope that we're able to strive, trying to get all those buzzwords from work in, strive to meet the expectations that y'all have put forth in us, and to serve faithfully as we go forward. A bit of trepidation right now because I've never done this before, so. With the help of these folks that are experienced, I didn't realize Bernard had as much experience as he does. But hopefully they'll help guide Irwin and I as we begin this journey together. Thank you.
I thought it was going to be longer than that, so hope I'm not too long, guys. Dear brothers and sisters of Church of Christ here at League City, I want to thank you very much. His grace and peace to God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself to our sins to deliver us from the great evil, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom we glory forever and ever. Amen. I am humbled and honored and accepted the congregation's appointment for me as the elder of the League City Church of Christ. After much prayer and consideration, I believe the decision is one the Lord has meant for me, and I'm humbled to chosen as a servant of this congregation. I'm honored because Lord Jesus Christ is more than just a family to us. It is our family. You are my brothers and my sisters. God has gone through you and has done truly amazing works in this area, and I hope and plan to continue that tradition. I'm also honored to be listed with godly men who have currently served the church. Bernard, George, Ken, Ron, Sean, and Mike, and also in the past, Joe and RC. They are truly great men, and I've learned a lot from them, and I continue to hope that is the way in the future. I also like continued prayers as we work together, the glory of the serving the Lord, that we will face with many challenges as we can see what's happening in our world today. We trusted that these challenges were used by God to strengthen our faith and so that we would be better able to serve our neighbors. Blessed be the Lord, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our mercies and the God of all who all comfort, whom comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are afflicted with the comfort in which we ourselves will be comforted by God, as listed in 2 Corinthians. I would also like to take this time to ask for forgiveness. I am a simple man, as we all are, and I am weak, and I sometimes confess my sins to the Lord as many times as I can. I confess my nature as a simple and being unclean. It is true to the Lord. It is true to me too, and sin is something that we do in a desire, and we all fall short, and we ask for the forgiveness of our Lord God. I'll ask for your prayers and understanding as I continue to try to serve the Lord as best I can as an elder of this congregation. And I'd also like to thank you for some following people. My wife, Pamela Renee, she has been the rock and the stone in our family. She's kept us together and has been a great help and loyal servant to me, Father. I also thank my children, Cody, Casey, and Jamie, who's at home right now, probably watching this. They've been great children, and I love them dearly. And Trevor, my new son-in-law, I'm proud to have him as my son. As many know him, he used to attend church here with his family. I also want to thank my mother and my father, who are great women and men of God. I cannot thank them enough for what they've done for me and my family and my life. Many times I think they thought that I wasn't going to make it. And I want to thank them. I also want to thank my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. They are great people. My father-in-law has passed on. Many had a chance to meet him. He attended here for a little while, but it was the latter days of his life. And he is a great man. And you've all met my mother-in-law, Rose Watson. I also want to thank some elderly couple that we have that goes to church here, Daryl and Ann Newton. I will lean on them and have through the years use their inspiration and have trusted them through many years of my life. And finally, brothers and sisters, God has given us the most and precious gift of all, the gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father that has given his Son into his death that we might have everlasting life. Let us never forget that. I rejoice in the new call and our continual partnership with the gospel. May the Lord continue to bless you in our ministry as we've been so gracious in his blessing in our past. For great is steadfast is the love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Beautiful words, and both of you were far briefer than I've ever been, so well done, very well done. And I'm glad, too, that you've mentioned your wives, because I neglected to mention Rachel and Erica and Diane and Pam. Can I call her Pamela Renee, or I like that? We know you're being called upon in a great way as well, and that there are burdens of deacons' wives, of elders' wives that are unique because of the time their husbands have to spend devoting themselves to different works that they're called to do and the way that they're serving. And so we're gonna pray for you. We're gonna keep you in prayer as well and your families. And I'm glad you mentioned leaning on Ann and Daryl, because I neglected in the charge to encourage you to build close relationships and rely on your brothers and sisters to help you as you serve. I want to finish, and then Kai's going to lead us in our final song. But I wanted to give just this charge to the church, to love these men. We appreciate them deeply, and we know there are some who have been doing great work for the church. You don't have to have the title deacon attached to you to be serving in a way. There's so many who are doing so much for this church, but who maybe in certain respects didn't qualify for one reason or another at this time to serve, but we deeply appreciate all who serve. And we're all called to serve in whatever way we can. But when these men, when these elders call on us to serve, when these deacons have to make a call, when they've got to approach you, when they need to ask if you can teach or if you can lead or if you can help, we all can't respond always every time we're asked. But please prayerfully consider how these men need us to rise up to the challenge and to answer the call and to try whenever we can to take part in what they need us to do so that they can do their work as we work together with them, helping them. Let's love these men, appreciate the work that they do, support them, and be available to them in the work that they do and call upon us to do. And may the Lord help us all to abound in love one toward another and toward all, and to bring honor and glory to Him in whatever way we're called to serve. God has a purpose for you and a place for you here. If we can help you respond, we've already extended the invitation of our Lord. Let's stand and let's sing this song together.